This is not your average weekend.
Hey, go Pack Go!
This is no place I've ever been.
They've been doubted all year. Everyone.
Fly ball left center. Crow Armstrong is on the move. He's running out of room. It's gone! William Contreras gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead on his second home run of the series.
The pitch. Shanna drive out to left. Uh-oh. It is back. Happ at the track at the wall. Bye! Bye! Baseball! Long live Andrew Vaughn! Here's the pitch. And Terang, a fly ball to center. Crow Armstrong's back at the track. It is gone!
Swing and a grounder to short. Picking it up, Ortiz over to first. Ball game! And the Brewers advance to the NLCS.
Jacob Mizorowski, unreal. I mean, this is all I could ever ask for. It's awesome.
That's as low as it can be.
Oh, my goodness! Right to Graves' belly!
Eric, he's 6'5", 295 pounds. How could you not see him?
This is not acceptable. It doesn't matter who's coaching the team right now, man.
Last two games in the series, Iowa has won by a combined score of 79-10.
I'm crushed, disappointed in myself, in our team, but we got one thing to do, and we got to keep swinging.
It's off to the tight end, Kraft. Galloping inside, touchdown.
The Packers won this game because of Jordan Love.
That was one of the better games that he's played for us. I thought he played his ass off.
And Jacobs, oh, look it, right down the middle. Touchdown. For the second time today.
We have now a three-week sample where we are 1-1-1. You can't be more meh than 1-1-1.
This is a really emotional time right now.
Big dogs in the building. Big juice, man.
Let's go! Touchdown!
To win this series the way we did, I'm just grateful.
And the Brewers are going to the championship series.
Step one is making sure that we find the guys that are going
to
compete.
The bottom line is you got to find a way to win the game.
We find ways to win, you know.
Like this. You ready for the Dodgers?
Of course, we're always ready.
One brief question for Johnny Montage as we start the 10 o'clock hour. Is that the first in your long history of montages that the first person's voice we hear is yours? And is that IPT?
Yes.
I got jealous of Hunter getting a self graph the other day, so I thought.
We probably have to have a conversation about him and his doom and gloom that he delivered the last time we spoke with him, and then what the Brewers did in response. I'm sure.
Is he banned?
He's not banned. If we're not going to ban Jesse for calling for the manager's job, we're not banning Hunter.
I feel like not even a suspension. We let that go.
Did we punish Jesse other than teasing him?
I don't remember.
Oh, I've been punished plenty for you took asking the question at Pablo's birthday bash.
Well, the problem is we can't punish you by making you like suspending you from the show because then you just get more days off.
And so then you get Hunter, he wins. He actually wins. Yeah.
So, all right, let's get back to the calls. No, we're not banning Hunter, but he does need.
By the way, did you see?
He made a mistake
Murph?
Like Jordan Love on that interception, and he needs to learn from it.
Yeah, he's got to grow from it. Did you see Murph? There is a big contingent of Japanese media at AmFam Field, and he had all the crew get up and introduce themselves like Jesse had to. And it was awesome. Like, if you haven't seen that video, it's fantastic.
He has not changed despite the tremendous amount of media members who are now in the auditorium for every one of his press conferences in the postseason.
Let's get back to your calls. 844-770-3776.
You don't like when they do that?
Huh?
No comment on that?
I muted you because you were sneezing, and then you started giving a take mid-sneeze.
I pulled the mic away. I sneezed,
The Badgers lose to Iowa 37-0. Have now been outscored 79-10 in their last two meetings. I can't wait to see Christian Welch in the locker room.
I got some texts on that Badger game anytime you want to get to them.
The Brewers advance to the NLCS. Game one tonight at AmFam Field. 7-something first pitch, Jesse?
7:08. 7:08.
And who are the probable starters?
The Brewers have not announced who their opener will be, but then Priester or Quintana is what Pat Murphy said yesterday.
I'll tell you what I'm nervous about. Our best is struggling. I'm not sure how much you can lean on Ashby at this point. He was so good throughout the year. He didn't have it in the Cubby series. Now, maybe he can refind it and recapture it. He's such a critical piece to what we do, and he didn't have it. Do you feel good if Murph puts him out there? I'm asking. I don't know.
And the Packers beat the Bengals at Lambeau Field 27-18. I want to get to calls. I don't want to have a discussion.
I understand, but
I
literally asked
Allen
the question.
Ashby.
Y'all are like, oh, I don't know. Who's Ashby?
Okay. Let's go down to Deerfield Beach, Florida, and talk to Nick about the Packers. See, I was setting up Packers. I was going to go to the Packers last because that's what all the calls are for. Nick, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Victory Monday. How are you guys?
We're great.
Awesome.
How are you?
Good. Just enjoying my day off from work today for Columbus Day, but kind of a little. I'm getting a little impatient with the D line. I want to see more sacks with our elite talent like Coop, Micah, Wyatt, and Rashawn. And look how much we're paying Rashawn and Micah combined. So I don't know if I'm being unreasonable or not. I mean, I know the opposing offenses have been throwing those quick passes and the checkdowns to combat our pass rush, but I still think we should be getting a lot more pressure on the QB, which could lead to some takeaways. So, I mean, 4 sacks in the last 3 games, well, really 3, because I don't know if we count that one on Dak. But what do you guys think? Am I being unreasonable? So, no, thank you for taking my call, guys.
Great. We appreciate the call, Nick. Thank you. You're not being unreasonable at all. No, I would agree.
I was the thing I was most disappointed in yesterday, that was it. And it was the second half. The first half, I really think Zach Taylor was like, all right, we have to get the ball out of our hands quickly. You know, the old Charlie checkdown. It was Chucky checkdown most of that first half. And I think they said, you know, we ain't going to do it. We obviously can't do anything doing that. What did you say, Jason? 60-some yards?
65 yards, yep, in the first half.
Great number, 65 yards. And you realize that wasn't going to work. And oh, by the way, Chase and T. Higgins are out there. Probably an idea. Throw them the blanking ball. So there were opportunities in the second half. And I was disappointed in our group and surprised that their O-line held up the way it did. Now, Flacco, to his credit, he does get rid of the football. He doesn't want to take – he is an old, savvy vet. And I think it got to the point where when he felt it, he's like, all right, where's one? I'm throwing it over there. He's going to make something happen. And he got PIs. He got – you know, obviously, Jamar won some good battles with both Keyshawn and Valentine. So I give them credit, but I expected more from that group. And this is what I said yesterday, and I think it's a – I think sometimes we have blind spots. And what has been the biggest correlation to why this defense has not been the dominant group? I think they dominated the first 3 games. Dominated. That's when I got Crown City-ish, and I was like, oh, let's crown these guys as, hey, if they continue with this, we could start talking about this group in this way. Well, then Devontae Wyatt gets hurt, and it has not been the same. And I poo-pooed it a little bit in the Cowboy game. 5 out of 6 drives, touchdowns when he's out of it. I shouldn't have poo-pooed it. It's obviously hearing Jeff Hafley talk about Devontae and the impact he has. He is a huge cog. Cullen Jenkins was also at the game yesterday, Jason. Cullen Jenkins
was a
monster difference maker for that for our team and for that D-line. Devontae Wyatt is, and we have poo-pooed it because of the Micah and Rashad. Oh, we have plenty of other guys to do it. We haven't. And that loss showed up in the second half yesterday, just like it did in the Dallas game, and I don't think we found a way to replace it. And I have to say, I've had a blind spot to that. I just have poo-pooed it. And I think when you start talking about this defense, they're not whole until 95 is back out there disrupting things.
I think they definitely miss him. I'm not saying they don't at all, because I agree. And when Jeff Hafley says he's not having a good season, he's having a great season, and talks about the pocket pushing that he does, that obviously puts the quarterback in a more vulnerable position for their edge rushers, I think he's right about that. I don't think it's, if we're ranking the reasons why the defense is not playing at the elite level that it was at for the first three games, I think it's, if it's like Family Feud style, it's in the top three answers that are on the board. But I think one of the reasons is teams are looking at the pass rush and looking at Micah Parsons and saying, look, we cannot dink around here. We have to get the ball out quickly. That doesn't mean Charlie check down. That means designed plays to get the ball out right away. Not, oh, there's a little bit of pressure, now I check it down. It's get the ball out of the quarterback's hand quickly, because we're going to get killed. And then the other thing is their failure to take the ball away. And that's on all the levels.
Do you think, and I don't remember which game it was. I think it was Cleveland, but then there was also some Washington where we were commenting on how the Parsons effect was helping the DBs, where they could sit on routes because of what you just said. And it felt like, well, you think it was just that they were afraid of Jamar and T over the top, and they sat back and gave more space on some of those, you know, really kind of easy pitch and catches on the sideline? Because yesterday was the first time that you're really starting to hear people get after the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit in the Cowboys second half, obviously, but yesterday was the first time, you know, callers would call into our postgame show and say, well, we don't have an elite corner. We don't. And I just wonder, did Jeff Hafley say keep everything in front of you because there was a lead, or because they were afraid of Jamar and T going over the top?
Yeah, yes. I think it's probably both, right? Like, I think if we're looking, the situation is part of it. But, yeah, are they – I had someone say, are they adopting the Joe Barry third and five, play 9 yards off the line of scrimmage approach? Like, I'm not sure if I've seen that prevalently to start making that comp. But, look, they don't have an elite corner. I think Keyshawn Nixon is better than he gets credit for. I'm not ready to say that he's, you know, in the upper echelon of corners. He had a great game against, what was it, Washington? But he never matched up with Terry McLaurin in that game either, if you want to point that out. Like, they play a bunch of zone coverage. Their guys stay on their sides. They don't have a guy like Patrick Surtain who's traveling with Garrett Wilson all day yesterday like that. They just operate differently. So when you have pressure, their secondary is plenty good enough. Yep. When you don't have pressure, then you start to get into a position where you don't feel as good about that group. I would like to take one more call, and then we'll get to more calls after the break. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. I know Mike in Texas has been holding on for a very long time. So, Mike, good morning. Thanks for holding. What do you think?
Good morning. Thanks. Well, first of all, I mean, this was a good win. It wasn't a spectacular, exhilarating win. But I think a lot of people were frustrated. Like, for one thing, in the third quarter when the Bengals had the ball for 10 minutes, driving down the field, that was just, it's hard to comprehend. Like, how can a team allow this to happen? And the thing about mistakes, you know, a lot of chatter in YouTube comments, I think the thing about the mistakes with Love is they just seem to be so bad. They're not like, hey, you made a mistake. You know, quarterbacks, great quarterbacks make mistakes, but they're just, when they hold the ball and you get sacked or fumble and interceptions, you're just like, how could you do that? I think that's what, and it's becoming regular. It's becoming common. I think that's where it's purely, why does this keep happening? And they're just so bad. Mistakes are bad.
Yeah, again, they've played five games. I would argue he's had four bad moments. the pick in Cleveland, the fumble at the end of the half in Dallas, the putzing around in the final seconds of overtime, and the interception yesterday. I would argue that the first three, there is some culpability for his head coach in all three of them. Run the ball on the interception, not be aggressive the way you were unrealistically, in my opinion, in Dallas, and make sure that everyone, including the quarterback, is on the same page to get their asses up to the line of scrimmage so they don't run out of time in overtime. Yesterday, I'm sorry, you're not going to convince me that that wasn't just a bad play by a guy who otherwise had a magnificent day. You're just not. Sorry. But that's okay, because they don't need him to be perfect for all 61 plays when he plays the rest of the way he did in the other 60. He was really, really, really good. Now, if that happens in a playoff game, like it did when you have the ball in your hand in your first year as the starter, and on first down, you have the ball and have a chance to go in and win the game in San Francisco, and you throw late over the middle into triple coverage, off balance, across your body. Now, you want to talk about an interception that you learned from? There's no doubt he learned from that, because that haunted him the entire offseason. Did the throw yesterday look a little bit like that? I mean, he was off balance and throwing as he was falling down, but it wasn't anywhere near the same stakes or the same point in the game. It was a bad play. And then he didn't make any more bad plays the rest of the day. And that's one of the reasons why they won the game yesterday. All right, I want to get to more of your calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Although I would say he didn't need to make that bad play in order to make the good plays later in the game. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get to more of your calls, a highly esteemed Wisconsin State Journal sports columnist alumnus, emeritus.
Oh, I think I know who this might be.
Could be anyone.
One of my favorites.
Texts in on the private talk and text line, and I'd been meaning to ask you about this in your discussion of valuable lessons being learned by quarterbacks in their sixth NFL season. How come no one is talking about Love sliding 2 yards short of what would have been a game-ending first down?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Did he make? He didn't make that mistake earlier in the game, so he couldn't learn from it. So now he's learned. Hopefully, the next time this happens, yeah, that was a mistake, no doubt about it. And I think this is always the. You know, you continue to put yourself in different situations, and you hope that you have all the answers. You always won't. He's been on the move a lot. We love that. He's made plays with his feet. That was a mistake, and I think that's from whoever that is. I think I know who you're speaking of. I think it's a very fair point. Very fair.
844-770-3776. Yeah, we never stop learning. I think that's the most important thing. Let's go to Chris in Muskego.
To you, we do. You're supposed to. You should have all the answers immediately.
I'm just curious when mistakes stop being learning experiences and just that it was a mistake. He shouldn't have done it. I'm curious when we get to that point. Let me know.
Every mistake is a learning experience. Yeah.
These situations. It matters when it happens too. Like, you don't get grace when it becomes postseason football or end of the year football or fourth quarter football. There is a difference, as we've seen. So there's different levels of grace that goes into this whole deal. I gave a lot of grace because of how it worked itself out. Results matter. They do.
Okay. All right, so we'll save this clip from 10:39 a.m. on Monday, October 13th, 2025, year of our Lord. And if they don't advance to the NFC Championship game or to the Super Bowl because of a mistake made by the quarterback, and I'm not saying that will be the result. I'm saying if that happens, I want to make sure that we are not giving him as much grace as we're giving him now because results matter. Okay, we all on the same page?
I didn't give any grace in the Niner game. I didn't give any grace in the Eagle game last year.
In the Niner game would have been the time to give him grace. He's a first-year starter under the greatest amount of pressure he's ever been under.
No, he throttled the Cowboys. No, no. I mean, I gave him – there was some experiential stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But you got I was so disappointed where everybody else was like, oh, house money and all this other stuff. There's house money, and then all of a sudden you got all the chips in your pocket, and you decide, well, I'm going to throw it back out there. No, you had it. And that's what – you just don't know when you get back there. And those are the ones that gut you. And I'm sure that's why that sticks in his craw the way it does.
Let's go to Jesse's hometown of Muskego.
How's the football team doing down there in Muskego?
Looking good. Chance to get back to Camp Randall this year, no doubt.
The SEC of Wisconsin down there.
Classic
that's
eight.
What they say.
Yeah, big finale with McGuanago to close out the season coming up here.
It's always a rivalry. I saw the best high school football game I think I've ever seen on Friday night. Between Bayport and West De Pere.
Were you hiding under the picnic?
No, it was on television. I was at home. Yeah, no, I didn't go. I had some buddies that were there, but I didn't go.
Riley and Dennis had a heck of a call. Milton and Sun Prairie East. Milton with an onside kick came back and won the game in the fourth quarter. It was a fun one, too, the weekend.
Yeah, we got robbed on that. There was a first onside kick we recovered, and then all of a sudden they blew the whistle. Oh, we don't know. That doesn't count. Why didn't it count? Somebody explain that to me. I didn't catch that, Dennis. Riles, why didn't that count? All right, continue. We got robbed in that one.
I'll tell you about that fantastic finish between West Appear and Bayport another time. Let's go to Chris in Muskego. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, but no more taking ghost Texan messages in because he stole my thunder.
Oh no!
Yeah, that was a bonehead play. That was a bonehead play of a guy who has no clock awareness. By love, loves my quarterback. I support him 100%. But this stuff where he keeps saying they got to clean things up, they got to get. Well, if you keep making bonehead mistakes during the season, you're going to make them same bonehead mistakes in the playoffs. That pass in the first quarter was a bonehead mistake. He didn't learn from the past. Coming down into the fourth end of the fourth quarter into the two-minute warning, all he had to do was go out of bounds. Either way, the two-minute warning would have stopped the clock. He wasn't aware of what was going on with the clock because otherwise he went to the knee and tried to stop the clock. Then you go into the two-minute warning, and they got a timeout, and LaFleur calls his play. Then they come out of two-minute warning. Maybe LaFleur didn't like how the defense is set up, so he calls a timeout. And if that's the play you come out with a timeout when you want to run the clock, you want to kick a field goal, and you scramble your quarterback to throw the ball, and then he throws it once again up in the air, if that defensive back does not fall on his butt, that's a pick six, and we got a tied ball game on a bogus call of throwing the ball once again on third and two. I do not trust LaFleur like the other caller, three callers ahead of me said. I do not trust LaFleur when it comes to crunch time. He's scared. He doesn't know what he's doing. He calls bonehead plays. Everybody behind their television are saying, run the ball, keep it in between the lines, get the field goal, get the points. And what do? We come up with bonehead pass plays on short yardage downs when the time is running down. And that to me is like, we're going to clean this up. We're going to learn from this. The problem is they haven't learned in 3 years on how to manage game time situations or when it's crunch time to put teams away, to come up with bonehead plays instead of what everybody, even anybody knows you're short, you want to keep the clocks running down, you want them to either waste their last timeout or they don't have any timeouts left. If you throw that pass and it's incomplete like it was, what does that do? It stops the clock. You don't want the clock to stop. You want it to keep on ticking. So I just don't trust LaFleur. I believe in Jordan as our quarterback, but he's got to learn. If he doesn't start learning, I'm telling you, what he bonehead plays he makes today, he's going to keep on making in the playoffs if he doesn't learn from them. And he hasn't learned from them yet.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We appreciate you. That is also an unofficial. We'll have to check with 565 Analytics. But I think that is a Wilde and Tausch record for number of times the word bonehead was used in one call.
We don't need to check. That's a record.
New league record.
Does LaFleur run the ball there if McManus is healthy and kicking?
No. This is the same discussion. Slightly different, but roughly the same discussion as the discussion after the Cleveland game. Right? He wants to go win the game. He doesn't want to run the ball.
Yeah, but a field goal puts you up 9, you win the game.
Correct. And they're at the – remember, the 3rd-and-2 play is at the 2-minute warning. Love's pass is incomplete to Golden. It ran 4 seconds off the clock. The Bengals are now out of timeouts. You kick the field goal. It's only a 39-yard field goal. You would like to believe that Lucas Havrisik, even after searching for substitute teaching gigs in the greater Cleveland Metroplex, is a professional kicker, and he will make that kick. And he did. Matt LaFleur also said there was never any consideration of going for it on 4th-and-2, which, no, my personal opinion, I was a little surprised by the question, because you kick the field goal, you're up 9. It's a 2-score game.
Dan Campbell went for it last year.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is different, bro. There's no two ways about it.
I know, bro.
I respect it.
Well, also, I know, Edinburgh.
Also, the kicker isn't the only thing we've had to worry about on field goal attempts in the last couple of weeks.
Not no more. They're putting all their starting offensive linemen in there.
Yeah, they did. They did
all six
do that.
Of them.
So here's the deal, and this is what I don't understand. And I think Matt LaFleur, I know old boy was very hard on Matt LaFleur there, and there's a lot of Packer fans that don't trust Matt LaFleur. There's a lot of things to really like about Matt, but there are some things, and it's just understanding what you need to do. You don't always need to be ultra-aggressive. The Cleveland game, you didn't. I was incredibly critical because you win the game if you don't. If you just run the ball there, you're winning the game. I understand you want to finish with the ball in your hand and don't give the other team. Yeah. If it's Pat Mahomes, if it's Joe Burrow, if it's Josh Allen, if it's Joe Flacco, now you could say, well, Homer said they win the game if we don't make that field goal. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I'll say this. First half, I would have said no chance. Second half, I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't have been concerned. You have a 35, run the ball, force them to use the timeout, and go get up by 9 points, you're winning the game. Period, Finn. You don't. Sometimes you don't need to be the most aggressive, and I'm going to out Dan Campbell this, or I'm going to do like you do. Be who you are, understand your football team, and know what you need to do to win. And a field goal yesterday to go up 9 won the game. Period, end. And you ended up doing things that gave Cincinnati more opportunities to go down and get something. Now, if you miss that field goal, oh, God. Oh, boy. The conversation's all day. And you lose 25-24 today? Oh, boy. So that's the beauty of coaching. And stick with what you do. And it seems as if Matt LaFleur has. And sometimes it doesn't work. Yesterday, there was a couple of those.
We'll get to more of your calls and some of your texts coming up after Tausch tells us about Prize Picks. It's good to
Jesse,
be right, or as Strofe said yesterday, it's right to be good.
Tried to be good also. Yeah,
sure. That's what he said he was doing his prize picks read.
I don't understand. It's right.
He said it's right to be good.
If you took less on the McManus-McPherson combo of 3.5 made field goals that was on the board on Friday, you're a winner.
Because McManus made none.
McManus didn't play. McPherson made 2, I think, yesterday. So definitely wasn't 4. So if you listen to us there, nicely done. It's good to be right.
Golden
Jordan,
Moore.
Over or under?
Jordan Love rushing more. I don't know passing what he ended up with. 219.
259.
That would have been less.
259. That had to be more.
No, I think
it was less.
290 was, I think, what it
was. Yeah, I got that one right. Boom.
They had 290?
I forgot what we did.
We should have went less on that. But Prize Picks is the best way to cash in, watching your favorite teams. And right now, everything's going. Got Brewers. You got NHL. I think the NBA is tipping off this week or early next week. And, of course, the NFL. Prize Picks is simple to play. Pick more or less. Golden Moore. Kicking less. Jordan Love. I believe more was the correct answer yesterday. But the beautiful part is you have your opinions and you can cash in on them. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go to Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into your account throughout the football season. Join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Oh, it's good
to be right.
It was 240.5 for Jordan Love passing yards.
So over Moore was right.
We had more on the passing yards, more on Jacobs rushing yards, more on Golden receiving yards, and more on Ja'Marr Chase receptions. Everything was more except for the kicking. Good day.
We should talk
to us. You listen to Jesse and I on Friday. Big dubs for you on Prize Picks. Big dubs.
We should talk more about Josh Jacobs and more about the Packers' offensive line performance, including the level of pain, which was a lot more than even he was expecting, that Zach Tom was feeling after the game. That's all still ahead, along with more of your calls and texts. Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Some breaking news from the National Football League. Announcing his retirement. Must not have been getting enough playing time.
Flacco?
Za'Darius Smith.
Oh.
Za'Darius Smith calling it a career with the Eagles. We're having a tough go of it at the moment. All right, let's get one call in here.
You're right with guys retiring midseason.
I don't have a super high opinion of him, so I'm just going to say let's take a call.
I would say depending on the circumstances, like if you're injured and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to work my way back, I'm going to call it. That's one thing, but if you're just like,
sure,
nah, I'm done. Like, that's a little...
And maybe there is more. There's always more to the story, right? So, well,
not always.
There's also Antetokounmpo, another Antetokounmpo brother with the Bucks. Two-way contract. I just saw Shams. When he's not too busy reporting that Giannis wants to leave all the time, we got a third Antetokounmpo brother
Mark?
With the Bucks, which is fantastic.
Mark Antetokounmpo?
I don't know. Jesse, you'll have to look that up. I just saw it and it went away on my timeline, so... But...
It went
three
away.
Three Antetokounmpos. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Let's take a call. Let's talk to Jason. Chef Jason.
Alex Antetokounmpo joining the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes. Alex.
In Hale's Corners. And he's not going to talk Packers.
Okay.
He wants to talk about the Badgers. And he wants to talk about the Brewers. Woo!
Okay. Yeah.
Jace, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I called about 2 weeks ago.
and you've been on hold the whole time.
Yeah, been on hold the whole time. No, I just had a question about the Badgers. What a goose egg they laid. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe that. I remember seeing Tausch play there and how they managed to manhandle every line they went, defensive line they went in front of. But
it's mostly
with the next
because
three
of Mac
games
and Tausch.
Coming up with the next three games coming up with Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, if Fickell goes 0-3 against those teams, do you think that his job will be on the line? That's the first question. And then,
yes, I do believe it will be, and I do believe they're going to go 0-3 in those games.
Yeah, I do too. Unfortunately, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm a huge Badger fan, but I hope they maybe pull an upset somehow. But on a better note, way to go, Brewers. Congratulations on getting to the NLCS. Finally, we're going to – I can feel it in my bones. I'm going to pick the series like I picked the World Series. World Series, we're in six. This series, we're going to go – I think we're going to win it in six as well, 4-2.
Okay.
My only concern, though, would be is with our pitcher. And, Tausch, you called it. I'm worried about Ashby. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, maybe you know something I don't know, but I just hope that I know the Brewers are going to do it. I don't know who's going to start tonight, but they're going to be fine. I really do. And like I said, thank you for taking my call. And let's go Brewers in six.
There you have it. Brewers 6.
Take that.
Just to clarify something from Jason's call, the Badgers' upcoming schedule on the gridiron. Number one, Ohio State.
Woof.
This coming Saturday. Then they are at Oregon.
Woof.
Then they are home against Washington. Keep hope alive.
Yep.
The U-dubs going at each other. Then they are at Indiana.
Woof.
Then they are home against Illinois. And they are home against Minnesota. So they have what I see
as... we're on the road against Minnesota.
You're right. You're
go
at Minnesota.
Go boo in a bar.
Yeah.
Go boo in a bar. At Minnesota. I see three games that I am fairly certain they will not win on that schedule. And then I have see three games that they are certainly capable of not winning, but I'm hoping they will.
They couldn't beat Maryland.
I would appreciate more positivity from you, Jesse J. Nelson.
They didn't score against Iowa.
We still have one more segment left in the 10 o'clock hour.
We have another segment in the 10 o'clock hour?
Maybe I'll just should I just read Brian Buraga's text to me at the wedding on Saturday night?
Can read that next after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance, because we need something that we like to be good to talk about after that Badger discussion.
Well, the Brewers, how about them Brewers? Just like a great team, they need great protection. American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too. That's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with outstanding home and auto policies. So insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
The 10 o'clock hour continues next.
That's amazing. I'm actually flabbergasted that we're still in the 10 o'clock hour.
You had no role in that whatsoever. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I hope someday we'll sit down together and laugh with each other about these days. All our troubles, we'll lay to rest.
Let's get to one more call as we continue the 10 o'clock hour at 11:07. Let's talk to Jamon in Dallas. Jamon, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. Are you feeling better, worse, or the same about your Green Bay Packers after yesterday's performance, which was a win, by the way?
Oh, well,
going into today. I feel actually, didn't feel no better, but after listening to all the calls, I mean, geez, seemed like nobody has faith in the Packers no more. Like, I mean, I understand that they kind of, after yesterday's win, it's a little disappointing. Kind of don't really hear that after a win. But, I mean, we expect better from this team, but I'm kind of like on Ricardo, but go Pack, go. I mean, any win in this league isn't going to be easy. I mean, you know, to beat the Bengals, I mean, the Bengals, I mean, that's a different game than Joe Burrow plays. So, I mean, it wasn't just an easy team to just go in there and just expect to just dominate. So, I mean, go Pack, go. I mean, coming out the bye week, you got a little rust on you, knock it off, and hopefully we'll see a better team next week. Dude, go Pack, go. I'm sorry. I have nothing negative to say about the team.
Jamon, thank you for your service. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, look, Jamon's not afraid to criticize even after a win. But he,
no.
Again, he looked at the situation, saw what we needed, and delivered a Ricardo. By the way, you have to be a very avid listener to the program to be name-checking other callers. So that is very much appreciated.
The community.
The loyalty there.
Absolutely.
Community. Not to be confused with the dwellers in the YouTube comments. That was really, hey, he saw what we needed. Positivity, and we appreciate that. I'm sure he still had some nits that he'd have been happy to pick if he hadn't felt compelled
to
take that
position. I do wonder if we would have played better if Joe Burrow was quarterbacking, because one of the complaints that I've heard Packer fans also in the last, if I may, is that we play down to our level of competition and we rise up to our level, and obviously Detroit we rose way above. And I thought Washington we were above because, you know, both of it was all the two teams that were better than you in the playoffs last year. And blah, 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 blah. And then Cleveland, you kind of, well, I think right now this is a huge game coming up this week because this team has not played well on the road. And teams that are going to win championships, they win road games. You don't need to be 8-0, but I think the old saying goes, win all your home games and split on the road. You're going to be a one. Back in the old days, you're going to be a one or a two seed, and that's where you want to be. This week, this team needs to go out against an Arizona team. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to play, but I think that is a fair I think that's a fair question mark that this team has. Can they win on the road? Can they perform at a higher level than what we've seen so far?
Have they so you wouldn't say last year's team played down to the level of its competition because basically the only teams they beat were the teams that weren't very good, right?
Right.
And I would argue, and I'm very curious to see how Thanksgiving plays out in about a month, a little over a month, because and Detroit did not win last night. They lost in Kansas City, but they look a lot different than what we saw on opening night, from what I've seen of them. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like come Thanksgiving. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch will include a cavalcade of fun and hopefully a bunch of text messages because we haven't gotten to many of those, and I'm sure there's a ton of them that Jesse has been religiously curating for us. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.